Since the mid-1990s, 16 states and the District of Columbia have passed medical marijuana laws. In some places like California, a vast growing and dispensary system has sprung up for a drug that remains illegal on the federal level. Journalist Jim Rendon went behind the scenes with many of the people who work on the front lines of what is both an illicit and quasi-legal industry for his book, Supercharged, How Outlaws, Hippies, and Scientists Reinvented Marijuana. It is published by Timber Press, and I'm very pleased to welcome him to our show for today's backstory segment. Hello.
Great. Thank you, Leonard. Good to be here.
Now, no one has decriminalized recreational marijuana use on the state or the federal level, and different states use different medical marijuana models. Are some more lax than others?
Yeah. California is really sort of the Wild West in terms of medical marijuana. Most states have a kind of some level of state regulation or state involvement where, you know, patients may register with the state, like in Colorado and a number of other states. Dispensaries usually register with the state. In California, it's all left up to local control. So you have examples in Humboldt County, which is sort of well known for growing a lot of marijuana for a long time. In Arcata, dispensaries must grow their own marijuana. In Eureka, 5 minutes away, they can have members who grow and bring it in to see if they want to purchase.
So it's a county by county?
Often city by city. Half the counties have no medical marijuana dispensaries whatsoever.
Do we know how many dispensaries now operate in California?
Nobody knows. Los Angeles, I've seen recent estimates as much as 900, and that follows the city banning them and then not banning them and, you know, kind of having a big debate about it. But even at L.A., I don't think anybody really knows how many there are.
And what does an average dispensary look like? Are we just talking about going into a store with a
sure.
window?
And yeah, they're very different. I mean, I looked at a few, I think kind of maybe two on the opposite ends of the spectrum. Harborside Health Center in Oakland is kind of the you know, sort of like the luxury car version of a medical marijuana dispensary.
$22 million in business last year.
Yeah, yeah, and they do a great job. I mean, they have, you know, professional security out front. You're screened before you come in to make sure that you're a member. It's a kind of great retail environment. They have as many as 35 to 50 different strains available. You know, you kind of line up. You know, there are 10 different registers, and you line up to go in. And then there are places that are you know, very mom and pop. I mean, up in Humboldt, you know, just sort of a room you go in. Some places, one of the places I spent a lot of time grows its own and has a very large operation selling plants. And people come in the back, they have volunteers, and, you know, it's kind of interesting environment.
Well, as you say, some grow their own plants, but some don't. Where mm-hmm. do they get theirs?
You can, as a dispensary, your members can grow marijuana. You can be a provider, so you can grow marijuana for the dispensary to sell. But the dispensary is under no obligation to buy it. So at Harborside, for example, they buy from their members. They reject 90% of the marijuana that comes through the door. It doesn't meet their standards. So as a grower, growers may belong to 50 or more different dispensaries, and they literally load up a duffel bag and kind of go place to place trying to sell what they have.
Well, you mentioned that Harborside has how many strains? 20?
They have maybe 35 or 40 kind of on average.
Now, why would they need so many if this is really to just treat a medical problem?
Well,
are there different medical problems that require
different
strains of marijuana?
That's probably true. Nobody really has a good sense. There's no real research on it. Marijuana is a very complex plant. THC, which is the best known cannabinoid, is one of about 80 different cannabinoids in the plant. There are many of those that have different medical uses and effects on people. Most of them are just totally unresearched, but a few have been. So some strains have different kind of levels of different cannabinoids in them.
Well, California has long been a source of marijuana, mm-hmm. even before medical marijuana. Has the amount increased since it was made legal, at least for medical purposes?
Sure. I think it has to have. You know, it's an illegal product for the most part, so there's no real good number on how much is produced. They're all estimates based on how much the government eradicates every year, and then it is extrapolated out. They think they get rid of a certain percentage. That's kind of the only way to do it. Some research look at how much people use and try to factor that in.
I read that it's estimated that 3% of California's electricity is being used to grow indoor cannabis.
Yeah, it's all over. And it's a very energy-intensive product if you're going to grow it indoors. You know, and I met a lot of people who just showed up in the last couple of years to grow. I mean, you know, it's a very valuable crop, and you can certainly make money if you know what you're doing.
So what has this meant for the illegal market?
There's, you know, while there's not necessarily a strong tie between people who grow for the medical market and people who grow for the illegal market, what it has done is kind of, in a lot of cases, allowed smaller scale people who grow for the illegal market to be kind of left alone by law enforcement. If you have under 100 plants on your property, you're probably not going to be bothered by the feds. And in addition, it's driven the prices down. There's a glut. I mean, when I was out there reporting, everybody complained about how much it was selling for. It was up to maybe 5 years ago at, say, $4,000 or $5,000 a pound. When I was reporting there a year and a half or so ago, it was maybe $1,200 a pound. That's for sort of decent kind of outdoor marijuana. On the black market, growers I talked to said, in the past there were buyers who would show up and, knock on your door, and they'd kind of always be looking, and, they would pay you large sums of money and take your product and leave. And today there's so much available that you have to front your product. So you give them the marijuana. If it makes it cross country, if it sells at the price they expect, then you will get your money back. So most growers expect to lose 30% of their crop in that process.
Well, in the past, a lot of the marijuana came in from Mexico.
It still does, certainly, and there's a lot of cartel grows in the national forest. That's a huge problem, and I think all of the kind of medical marijuana and even smaller scale illegal growers I met really dislike what the cartels are doing. They get very happy every time the feds bust a big cartel grow in the national forest. So it's
My guest is Jim Renton, who's written a book called Supercharged: How Outlaws, Hippies, and Scientists Reinvented Marijuana. It is published by Timber Press. Well, what qualifies somebody to get medical marijuana? Is this mostly for people on chemotherapy?
No. In California, there are, I'm forgetting the exact diseases or illnesses, there are about a dozen different illnesses, and then there's a blank line called other, which your doctor can fill in. I got a medical card. I was at the Cannabis Cup in San Francisco, and they sort of are two zones, one where it's kind of just almost like any other kind of business conference, and then the outdoor area where everybody's smoking and buying and selling. And I wanted to go outside and check that out. So there was a doctor there for $60. He says, "What's wrong?" You say, "Trouble sleeping." He fills out a form and you get a card and you go on your way.
That sounds like you can game the system.
Oh, easily. Certainly.
And I'm depressed, doctor.
I think a lot of, nobody knows how many medical users there are in California. Nobody knows what kinds of diseases or illnesses those people say they have or have been diagnosed with. There are certainly, I think, a lot of people who are very sick that get good medical use out of it, and a lot of people that want to buy some good pot
This also does cut across political lines. Rick Burkhizer, who writes for the National Review, had cancer, and he said it helped him during the time he was taking chemotherapy, and so he wants to see it legalized,
sure,
also as a libertarian cause. But is there any scientific evidence that pot really has effective medicinal value?
Yeah, I went into this book being very skeptical. I didn't really know much about it and just sort of assumed that it was a way of kind of getting a toehold for the people who wanted to legalize marijuana. And really, after doing the research, looking at the medical studies, meeting with there's a pharmaceutical company in the UK that grows marijuana and makes a medical extract that's been approved by governments across Europe and Canada to treat spasticity in MS patients. It has real medical benefits. There are, certain cannabinoids and certain combinations of them affect kind of a broad range of diseases.
Companies are increasingly getting into the medical marijuana business. Can you talk about the UK-based CW Pharmaceuticals?
Sure, yeah. It's actually GW Pharmaceuticals. They are – that's the company I was just referring to. They're a British company. They do a plant-based medicine. So it's a very unusual medicine. Most pharmaceuticals, you're kind of isolating a molecule and finding something that has an effect on the brain or some part of the body.
But isn't marijuana illegal in the UK?
It is, and they have a sort of special dispensation from the government to grow for this particular pharmaceutical product. And they've been responsible for a large portion of the medical research that's been done to date. There's almost very little has been done in the U.S. looking at medical benefits. Mostly here it's looking at health problems that result from smoking or other means of ingesting. But they, their product is actually in stage 3 trials here with the FDA and probably on track to be approved here. And it is literally an extract. They grow two different strains of cannabis plants and grind them up and cook them and mix them and extract the cannabinoids. And it comes in a little bottle and you squirt it under your tongue.
Do you think the reason we haven't seen more studies on the possible medical benefits is because we only want to think of marijuana as something that is destructive. It's the gateway drug.
Sure. Well, I mean, legally, that's how it's classified. It's classified as a drug with no medical benefits. So for researchers that I've spoken to who have been trying to obtain marijuana here in the U.S. to do, to study for health benefits, it's very, very hard. There's only one supplier in the U.S. It's the University of Mississippi. The marijuana that they grow is nothing like you would find in California. It has much less THC. The other cannabinoids are virtually not present. You can't specify certain strains. It's very hard to get and very hard to study here.
What do polls indicate about the way the American public thinks about marijuana and legalization? Because we're seeing it quasi-legalized all over the country now.
Sure, yeah. The sort of medical exemption, medical marijuana laws are very popular. They poll, I think, around 75 to 80% nationally, people in favor of them. It's a hard issue when somebody says, hey, you know, my grandmother has this disease and the only thing that makes her feel better is marijuana and you're going to arrest her for smoking it. You know, it's a tough one to kind of fight against if you're against it. And it's been very popular. And even legalization is over 50%. I think this year or last year, Gallup's poll, they poll annually. I think it's the first time it's hit 50%.
Well, if it most people will tell you marijuana is not addictive, opiates are. Opiates mm-hmm. are usually the prescribed painkillers. So wouldn't it be in the interest of the federal government to reconsider marijuana as a Schedule I drug?
It might be. I mean, certainly, you know, a lot of people have pushed for that. That's a big issue with the advocates in the field.
But what has the federal government's
The federal
position
government's
been
stance
on this?
Has largely been to say it's an illegal Schedule I drug. And, you know, advocates are very upset with the Obama administration. You know, he came in 2008 and said that, you know, he would kind of leave this issue up to the states. And California has seen a really severe crackdown from the DOJ and a little bit in Colorado and some other places. So, I think a lot of people feel who supported him, who are medical marijuana advocates, feel a little bit burned.
Well, Colorado is one of the swing states in this year's election. And there are 88,000 medical marijuana card carriers in the state. Also, it has a ballot measure coming up in this election that would legalize possession of small amounts of pot. Do we know if that's likely to pass? And if it does, doesn't that put the federal government into some kind of a quandary?
Yeah, I don't know if anybody knows how the federal government would react. Colorado, I think the support for that is about a little bit over 50%, and the folks against it are about 40%. With
Washington
about 9%.
Also has Washington State.
Washington's further ahead. I think they're polling at about 57%. And Oregon also has a ballot initiative that's, I think, at about 40%. It looks like one of those states may well pass, and I guess we'll see what the federal government decides to do.
Now, if anyone catches one of the people selling medical marijuana to a person who just wants to get high, are there any penalties imposed?
I would have to assume so. I mean, if you are running a dispensary, you let someone in who doesn't have a medical recommendation from a doctor, then it would seem to me you're kind of just a drug dealer. But again, most of those places are very strict about screening you at the door. So you have to be both a cardholder and a member.
But
you
also
kind of join their collective.
You note that under the law in California, if a local law set a limit of 12 plants with a doctor's recommendation for more, say up to 99 plants, a patient or his caregiver could grow 99 plants. Now, that's a lot of marijuana
sure
for
is.
One person.
Yeah, especially if you're growing outdoors. Some of those outdoor plants will grow 4 or 5 pounds a plant. It came out of, I mean, California's seen years of judicial cases and new laws and whatnot. Essentially, the idea was you couldn't, your local government couldn't overstep your doctor's recommendation.
Jim Random will be speaking and signing books on Saturday night at 7 at Book Court. That's at 163 Court Street in Brooklyn. His book is called Supercharged, How Outlaws, Hippies, and Scientists Reinvented Marijuana. It is published by Timber Press. And what's your feeling? We're going to see more medical marijuana around the country?
I think so. It looks like it. I mean, we see more and more of these bills coming up in states.
Thank you so much for being with us.
Great. Thank you, Leonard. I appreciate it.